This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. Astaghfirullah.
Assalamu alaikum. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك يا أرحم الراحمين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his love. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the love of those actions that will gain his love. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the love of those people that he loves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma rabbana arina al-haqqa haqqa warzuqna tiba' wa arina al-batila batila warzuqna ijtinaba min. We ask Allah, O Allah, allow us to see the truth as truth. And O Allah, give us the ability to follow that truth. And O Allah, allow us to see falsehood as falsehood. And give us, Ya Allah, the ability to stay away from that falsehood. Ameen, Ya Rab. All right, we're studying Suratul Hadid. Suratul Hadid has been a beautiful journey so far. And we have just reached this climactic moment of this surah, a very beautiful moment of this surah. And I want to start right where we left off, two weeks ago, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in my estimation, this aspect, barakallahu fiqh, jazakallahu khair, in my estimation, this verse that we did last week. And I'm going to start with this verse today because the Quran, you have to keep the flow of it so that the meaning of it stays together, right? And so this verse that we read last week, this verse truly, to me, is the apex of the surah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins verse number 20. I'm beginning from verse number 20 this evening, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'lamu. And when Allah says, I'lamu, in Arabic, that means know something. It's a command to know. And what I said last week or 2 weeks ago was like, it's when the teacher says, yo, this is going to come on the exam. This is going to be there. So you got to study this. You have to know this. This is something that you have to review. And this what's being spoken about in this verse is the reality of dunya. The reality of dunya is revised and reminded in this verse. Allah says, I'lamu, know this thing. Be aware of this. Of what? Annama al-hayatu dunya. That indeed this worldly life. Now, what's interesting is this, I want to talk about this again really briefly. This concept of hayat dunya. See, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith, he said, a dunya mazra'atul akhirah. That the dunya is the mazra'a. What's a mazra'a? Like a what? A farm. The dunya is the farm of the akhirah. And so you have these hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that this dunya is where you plant seeds. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ praised a man, a person who طَالَ عُمَرَهُ وَحَسَنَ عَمَلًا. Like they live a long life and their actions are good the whole time. The Prophet ﷺ, he praised that person. So we have these hadith where this life is clearly a blessing from God. Right? Alhamdulillahi الَّذِي أَحْيَانَا بَعْدَ مَعَمَاتِنَا. Every day you wake up. But then you have these hadith. You have these verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks so derogatorily about this temporal world that we're in. And ahadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he clearly said, a dunya mal'oon. Like the whole dunya is cursed. So the question is, guys, like, how do you balance this? And here it is. The dunya is not the life that you live. Dunya is everything that pulls you away from Allah. Dunya is, so you and Becky, y'all can have the same stuff. Or Joey at work, whatever, right? Like y'all can have the same stuff, house, car, family, wealth. You can have the same stuff and it not be dunya for you and be dunya for them. Why? Because everything you have, you're using it to get closer to Allah. And everything they have, they see it as an objective and an end in and of itself. And that's the primary distinction is the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us that don't look at the dunya For it's immediate, because dunya means immediate. It means what's close. Duni. Don't use the dunya for what it immediately gives you, but see the seeds that you can plant through every day that you have life. And so whenever we speak about dunya, just realize that as long as whatever you have, you're using that for your akhirah, then that's not dunya anymore. Your relationships with your family, your spouse, your children. And then you're not loving those things in and of themselves either. So I'll share this with you before we go forward. Hassan, I've said this before. Khalid, sorry. Hassan and Hussein are talking to Ali, radiallahu anhu, their father. And they're brilliant children. And so they say, Dad, do you love me? One goes, do you love me? And the father goes, yes, Ali, radiallahu anhu. He goes, yes, of course I love you. Then his brother asks, do you love me? He goes, yes, of course I love you. And they say, well, do you love our mother? He said, yes, of course. Where are you getting at? He goes, how do you love all of us when Allah says, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهِ رَجُمْ مِنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِي, that no one has two hearts in their chest. That's Surah Ahzab. No one has two hearts in their chest. How do you love all of us? And Ali drops this beautiful knowledge on us. He goes, you don't understand. I love all of y'all only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, our relationship is just based on us pleasing God. Now when we understand that, we understand something deeper. When Noah's son chose not to get on the boat, and Noah then complains to God in a way, in an edeb way. He said, Ya Allah, you said you would save my family. And then Allah said, Innahu laysa min ahlik. He's not your family. Innahu amalun ghayru salih. He chose a different path. And that's scary, but the point I'm trying to make is every relationship you have, work is not dunya if you don't see it as the objective in and of itself. School is not dunya if you don't see it as the objective in and of itself. As long as you keep the objective, the pleasure of God, and I'm going to use this somehow to please God, so be it. I'll give you one more example. We'll read some more. This is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said in a hadith that fi budhi ahadikum sadaqa. The Prophet was teaching the Sahaba, you got to give sadaqah. You got to give charity. And they were like, who has money to give that much charity? And the Prophet said, no. Tahmeed, takbir, all your dhikr, all of that is charity. And then the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said something. He said, and your intimacy with your spouse is sadaqah. The Sahaba were like, Ya Rasulullah, ar-rajul yani ya'ti bi shahwatahu wa hadha sadaqah? A person fulfills their desire, and that's sadaqah? The Prophet ﷺ, then he said, if you did it in a haram way, would you not get sin? They said, yeah. They said, so if you do it the right way, you get reward. So the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us to redefine dunya. And so remember, as we say this word dunya, think of dunya as everything that distracts me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's a human being, whether it's a status, whether it's wealth, whatever it could be. Everyone has their own dunya. But then in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us stages that we all go through. It's a profound verse. Let's do it one more time, because we did it last session, but we need it so it flows into the next. Allah says, i'lamu, remember this, know this. Annama al-hayatu dunya, that this world, number one, is la'ib. It's play. They say la'ib is play that has no point to it. So you ever see a kid playing, you know, y'all remember the jack-in-the-box? For real, I mean, these old toys, whatever. But, you know, like you push it down, then you turn, and all of a sudden it pops up. And if you're a little baby, when it pops up, you're like, oh, that's like you see your little brother, like he can play all day with it. Pops up, he's happy. La'ib is play that has no point whatsoever. The next stage. Innama al-hayatu dunya is what? La'ib, play. Play with no point. Lahu. Lahu is play that you keep score at, though. Like, there's a point to it more. Yeah, I mean, there's more to it. You keep your score. You keep your tally. It's still games, but it's not at that level. Number three, wazina. This dunya is nothing but beautification, adornment. As I said in class in Jalalain, the peak is when you walk that red carpet, right? You know what I mean? Show the watch you got, show the drip. That's the peak. When you get to the peak of the dunya, what do? You just walk down the carpet, let people take pictures. That's it. Zina. That's it. Zina. Beautification. It's so shallow. Number four. وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ And to boast amongst one another. What did you get? What do I have? I have this. What do you have? I have this. تَفَاخُر. تَفَاخُر comes from فَخُر. فَخُر means like to be proud. But تَفَاخُر is like with people, proud amongst people, where you're competing and who has more. And last but not least, وَتَكَاثُر. وَتَكَاثُر فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ And to the amassment or the consumption or amassing more wealth and children. Now hold on, let me explain something. In a tribal society, and in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the more children you had, the safer you were. Because you can't just call the cops like 911, I need help. Nah. If you have trouble, it's how deep you roll. That's it. And so a sign of strength was wealth and children. Wealth and children, particularly sons. And so and so the verse says, all you end up doing at the end is trying to amass more wealth and what? And children. But I already said nowadays, amassing children. I was listening to a scholar today. He was like amassing children isn't a flex these days. Amassing children ain't a flex these days. We ain't even going to go on that tangent, but whatever. The sunnah is beautiful. The sunnah is tazawwaj al-wudud wulud. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, have many children. I want a big ummah on the day of judgment. That's the sunnah. But I'm speaking about the time we live in where it's like, oh, you got three. Oh. Four. Oh, you're irresponsible. Na'udhu billah. But that's not us. I'm speaking about the time we live in. The time we live in. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what do we say about this verse? It's amazing because these aren't just random things that Allah is mentioning. Play, amusement, beautification, boasting, and amassing more. No, these are the stages that we go through in life. And so what's amazing, I was talking to a sheikh today, and he said something, I heard it before, but he reminded me of it. Whenever you go from one stage to the next, remember I told you the little kid with the jack-in-the-box? So imagine the little brother who's like, you know, 12 years old walks in. And the mama says to the 12-year-old, hey, play with your little brother. He's like 4 years old, 3 years old, playing with the jack-in-the-box. And he sees his little brother sit there with the jack-in-the-box, and he turns it, boom, it jumps up, and he gets happy. The 12-year-old looks at this and goes, Mom, there's no point to this. Mom, this don't make sense. And what does the mom say? Son, this is what you used to do. Every stage you go through, you look back at the previous stage as childish. So first you start with la'ib. Just pointless games. Kids, they could play outside all day doing nothing. My daughter's sitting there watching me. Why you gotta watch me like right here, baby? Can you just sit like over there? Go sit down. MashaAllah, she be paying attention, but she be throwing me off because I be on the flow and then I see her. I gotta see her at home. You know what I mean? Yeah, for real. She throws me off my flow. MashaAllah. May Allah bless her. I mean. They be keeping me on track, though, for real. We were on the car ride here, and they were like, I'm not joking. They're like, that was attachment to dunya, Dad. I was like, yo, be quiet, yo. MashaAllah. May Allah bless us with righteous children. May Allah bless us all with righteous people around us in general. Okay, what was I saying? So each stage, you look at the previous stage as childish. And so now the 12-year-old who's playing sports now, keeping score, soccer, basketball, this and that, he looks back at the previous games as childish. And then when you get out of sports and you move on to Zina, everyone goes through that Zina phase where all of a sudden the dude's in the mirror all day. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden he cares how he looks so much. Like something just happened. Right after they get married too, mashallah. Mabruk. Congratulations, mashallah. Zina is the next stage. But when you get to the Zina stage, you look back at the other stage, childish, childish. After Zina stage, when the Zina starts to wither away, we move on to Tafakhur. How much property do you have? How many square feet? What kind of car do you drive? Right? If they mention the make and model, then, oh, no, it's just make. You guys just mentioned the make. Oh, y'all don't even know what I'm talking. Okay, cool. No, the point being, we go to tafakhur. Like, I don't have beauty anymore. I don't like games anymore. So now all I can do is tafakhur. How much, what do I have? Boasting about my what I have. And the last stage is the stage of just amassing more wealth. And now listen, each one of the things we mentioned, if they're done not as an objective, but as a means to somehow getting closer to Allah, somehow, I don't know, you figure it out, then that's not dunya anymore. But here's the crazy part. When you graduate out of all of these loves, what's the love that comes next? Love of Allah. Love of akhirah. And that's why people who are in love with Allah and they want the akhirah, they look back at their previous life like, I can't believe I was in love with that stuff. I can't believe I was spending so many hours playing video games. I can't believe I was spending so many hours doing this. The same way that 12-year-old looks at the kid playing the jack-in-the-box and goes, who would do that? And the mom goes, you used to do that. When we graduate up in our love, we look back and we move on. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, I want you to truly understand this dunya. He's speaking to me and you. So he says, the example of this dunya, this life that we're living, and how quick it goes by. كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَارَ نَبَاتُهُ. It's just like rain that comes down and makes the farmer so happy when the vegetation grows. Think of the life cycle of a plant grown by a farmer. The whole life cycle is one season, what, 90 days? 120 days? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I want you to look at that life cycle and reflect on your life cycle. How long do you really have? And look at the cycle. The verse says, كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ. Like rain, when it comes down, it brings joy to the farmer's heart when he sees the vegetation grow. ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ. يَهِيجُ can mean it gets strong or it starts to wither away. So now this plant is strong and the farmer's looking like, man, look at my crop. Look how strong it is. Look what's happening. فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرَّ. Now this is ajib. The Quran says, فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرَّ. And then you'll see that same plant start to turn yellow. You know what I was thinking about? This part of the verse is a reflection on our own lives. You go through you're the nabat. You're 12-year-old, you're growing up. 17-year-old, you're strong. 20, you're strong. 22, you're strong. Then as time starts to go, 40, I told y'all, I used to have a left and right knee, now I got a good and bad knee. You know, 40, now what's crazy is, and everyone with me will nod when they hear me say it, but some of y'all don't, y'all ain't felt it yet. So when you're aging, you don't feel it the way others see it. So the Quran says, فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرَّ. Not that it gets old. You'll see it aging. And when you look in the mirror and you see the gray hair, you're like, nah, I don't feel like that. When these boys, they're like, yo, let's go ball shake. I'm like, I got you. I get on the court, I'm like, y'all go ahead. We running half court, right? The point I'm trying to say is the Quran says, فَتَرَاهُ. You'll see it turn yellow. And to me, that told me, subhanAllah, I don't feel the turning yellow, but I see it. Allahu Akbar. فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرَّ ثُمَّ يَكُونُ هُطَامًا. And then this crop that was grown by the farmer, that he was so happy at as it grew, now it's fall and it's done. And no one cares about it anymore. And life moves on. And Allah is saying, I want you to think about yourself. Life is going to go on. 30, 40 years from now, there'll be new people sitting here. There'll be new, you've moved on. There's new problems in the world. Different crazy presidents. There's new, your job, your corporation didn't stop running. But you're gone. And think about how quick that happens. What are you doing with the time that God has given you on this earth? Because it's short. And then, and now what's crazy is plants go through the same cycle as we. Animals go through the same cycle. But look what Allah says next. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. But the difference between the plant, animal, and the difference between you and those species is for you there's an akhirah. So Allah says, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ. And at the end of this life cycle, it's not just over. There's either a very serious punishment or forgiveness from God. What did you use your 40, 50 years for? What did they go to? Did they go to beauty? Did it go to playing? Did it go to a sport? Or did it go to acquisition for the sake of acquisition? What did it go to? Either you get the maghfirah of Allah and His pleasure. وَمَا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا And this is where we're starting today. وَمَا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this worldly life is nothing but a thing of deception. Meaning a lot of people get caught in the dunya and never survive it. They get caught in the world and get caught up in the whirlwind. And that's why they said, here's the key, guys. They say that the dunya is like an ocean and your heart is like a boat on the ocean. So long as the boat stays on the ocean, you'll get to where you need to get to, Jannah. But if you let the water into the boat, if you let the dunya into the heart, and that's that attachment, that deep attachment where you can't separate from it because you made it an objective in and of itself. Whenever we're going on a journey and we run past Buc-ee's, right? What's Buc-ee's, right? That's the spot. I'm in Texas. I can say it. Everybody's like, yeah, Buc-ee's. I already know. If we're going to Houston and there's a Buc-ee's on the way, we stop, don't we? Who ain't going to stop at Buc-ee's? But you don't get attached to Buc-ee's. No, for real. Do you? You don't get attached to Buc-ee's because the objective was Houston. But what we've done is we're making, and it sounds a funny metaphor, but we've made dunya the objective. And so now we're like, yo, we got to leave Buc-ee's. You're like, no, I'm chilling. I want some more popcorn, whatever they be selling. I don't know. You trying to settle down. And the Quran is like, no, just use the dunya. Use the dunya. Don't let it take over you. And that's why I heard one poet, he said, don't be owned by what you own. Don't be owned by what you own. And when I heard that, it hit me. It was so beautiful. Don't be owned by what you own. I said, poet. He's a poet. وَمَا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ Now you ready for the next thing? These are new verses for today. Verse 21. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, سَابِقُوا Sabiqu means to race. But race in competition with others. See, in order for, they say, أَوَّلُ دَرَجَةَ ذَاهِبِينَ The first level of people who are going to God. Like, we have to understand we're on a journey. And when you're not woke, it's like you're sitting down. It's like you're not up yet. You're sitting down. And there's people on the journey going to God. And they're like, yo, come. And you're like, nah, I'm chilling. But there's a point that comes in your life where you're like, yo, I think I'm going to get up and walk too. I think I'm going to get up and walk too. They say, أَوَّلُ دَرَجَةِ ذَاهِبِينَ The first stage of anyone going to God, racing to God, بُغْزِ الدُّنْيَا You start to dislike the dunya. Now, remember, dunya is not life. You love life because every day is an opportunity to please God. But you dislike that in the dunya which pulls you away from God. Do you feel what I'm saying? And that's when Allah, there's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ was asked, what's the sign of someone's chest being expanded? In shirah al-qalb, what's the sign? The Prophet ﷺ said, number one, they start to get distant from the dunya. Now, people misunderstand that. Oh, I'm going to get distant from my family. I'm not going to do work good. I'm not going to do school good. Nah, you misunderstood what dunya was, yo. Distant from anything that pulls you away from God. So, sabiqu. Sabiqu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, race. Now, the word sabiqu is deep because it's not race by yourself. Sabiqu is when you run with other people. Now, I don't know if any of y'all ever been in the run club before, yo. But I have. I'm going to go back one day, inshallah. Running is crazy. Because the word sabiqu indicates that you're not winning, but you're in the race. So it's like, you know, when I ran my first like 5K, right? And half. We did half. We did 10K. But we did a half too, right? No? 10K? All right. It felt like half. I would tell people, yo, I ran 10K. And people who don't run, they'll be like, did you win? And anyone who runs, they'll be like, bruh, the winning was being in the race. Like being in this race of deen, being in this race of getting, it's not about winning. It's about every day you're getting up and you're racing towards God. And the meaning is get in the race and also have people around you in the race too. Surround yourself with people that are in that race too. Because al-mar'u ma'a man yuhab, al-mar'u ala dini khalili, all of us will be on the same religion as those that we interact with. When I was running that 10K, Haytham was by my side the whole time. How many times did I feel like quitting? Haytham was like, Sheikh, let's go. Sheikh, come on, let's go. And wallahi, there was moments I would have stopped, but there was someone by my side. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here's the crazy part though. Right after the verse 20 is about, forget this dunya. The next thing after the dunya, after that, about competing in the dunya, Allah says, forget competing in the dunya, compete for akhirah. Surround yourself with people that you compete in akhirah with. So the last stage of the dunya that we just read was people competing to get more wealth and children. And the very first word of this ayah is get in the race with other people for the akhirah. Sabiqu, get up, compete with one another. Now the sahaba understood this because they embodied this mentality that I'm not going to compete with other people over anything of the dunya, I'll only compete in akhirah. There was a moment when the sahaba, a group of sahaba, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this just tells you like their mentality. A group of sahaba came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they're kind of having like a low-key personal meeting with him. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, we have an issue. Sabaqa ahlul amwal ad-dathr bil ajri. They said, Ya Rasulullah, the sahaba who have wealth have gone ahead of all of us. They got all the good deeds. They gone ahead. Their concern is how do we keep up? We don't have money like that. And they have money we can't spend. So they're ahead of us in the race, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, can I tell you something? That if you act upon it, you will outrace, you will, he said the words, you will, ala adulluka ala amalin idha anta qultahu adrak man qablaka wa futta man ba'dak. Do you know, I'll tell you something, if you do it, you will catch up to anyone in front of you and you will outstrip, you will leave behind anyone behind you. The sahaba were like, Ya Rasulullah, please tell us. Please tell us how to win this race, how to catch up to the pack. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said something that all of us know. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wallahu akbar after salah 33 times. That was what he gave. And what's crazy is now the poor sahaba after salah, they start sitting, they counting stuff on their finger. And the wealthy sahaba, they kind of like, what y'all doing? And see, there's this competitiveness, not for dunya, for akhirah. Can I share something else? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if you knew the reward for the first saf, if you knew the reward, he said, you would race and you would have to draw lots for it. You know, like when something is valuable and you draw lots, you're like, I didn't get a turn. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if you knew the reward, you would race each other, you would have to draw lots for it. Sahaba embodied this mentality that we're going to compete, but we won't compete in dunya. We'll compete in akhirah. And the main story all of us know, just to bring this home, is that, see, Omar was a businessman. And most businessmen, a lot of times your money is tied up. You don't have liquid assets. Umar, there was a moment at the Battle of Tabuk where for some reason his assets were liquid. So the Prophet ﷺ is trying to gather wealth. And he says, we need as much as we can get. And Umar goes, oh my goodness, my assets are liquid right now. And what is his first thought? I could beat Abu Bakr. Now, but hold on, I want to stop here. Can you imagine what our society would be like if we were all competing not for dunya but akhirah? Can you imagine like the ihsan we show each other? Can you imagine the good deeds we would be doing? Before I go forward, let me give an example. Umar ibn Khattab, he used to study Abu Bakr. He used to study him. But why? Because he wanted to outdo him in akhirah. So in the time of his khalifa, he was the khalifa, he saw Abu Bakr every morning after Fajr, like hanging back and then going out to the outskirts of Medina. And he saw him going into a tent. He saw him do this like 3-4 days in a row. And finally, after the fourth day, he goes into the tent after Abu Bakr leaves. And inside the tent, he finds an elderly blind woman. And he says, who's that man that comes in here? Excuse me, I'm sorry to disturb you. Who's that man that comes in here every morning? She goes, I don't know who he is. All I know is he comes in every morning. He cleans up after me because I don't have any family. And then he cooks me breakfast. And then he feeds me. Umar radiallahu anh, in that moment, it said he fell down crying. And you know what he said? He said, Anta huwa. Anta huwa. Yeah, yo. What is it? You are him. Like, I can't beat you. But see, our society destroys because we're competing for dunya. We're competing for wealth. We're competing for name. We're competing for all of these things. So we're at each other's throats. These people were serving each other because they competed for akhirah, not for dunya. Can you imagine what your life becomes when all of a sudden I'm not racing anyone in akhirah, I'm racing people in dunya in akhirah? Allahu Akbar. Why does Allah say sabiqu? Because when you run with a group, as the phrase says, you want to go, what is it? You want to go fast, go alone. You want to go for a far journey, stay together. Go in a group. The Quran says sabiqu, urgency. But why right after dunya was mentioned? Because you can never get on this race for akhirah until you leave dunya behind you. You have to do that first. Because the hadith says, the love of one removes the love of the other. The love of dunya removes the love of akhirah. The love of akhirah removes the love of dunya. Let's look at this verse. Allah says, sabiqu, run, race, compete, together. Sabiqu, ila maghfiratin min rabbikum. Ila maghfiratin min rabbikum. Race towards maghfira. What is maghfira? Forgiveness. What's the objective? Forgiveness. Race towards the forgiveness of Allah. You never know which action is the forgiveness. You never know which one. Race towards the forgiveness of your Lord. Ila maghfira. I lost it. I can't see it. All right, I'll tell you. Ila maghfiratin min rabbikum. Race towards the forgiveness of your Lord. I will say this. You can't get the forgiveness of the Lord till you get forgiveness of people, though, y'all. You know that, right? The sins that you do against God, God will forgive those. But the sins you do against another person, they can't be forgiven by Allah. You have to get forgiveness from the person. Sabiqu ila maghfiratin min rabbikum doesn't mean ignore people. Doesn't mean push people out. Because people are our biggest doorway to heaven or biggest doorway to Jahannam. Na'udhu billah. Sabiqu ila maghfiratin min rabbikum. Race towards forgiveness. Wa jannah, and race towards a paradise. Now listen, we have to actively and more regularly think about Jannah. For many of us, there's very seldom time that we actually think like, man, I can't wait for Jannah. But Allah mentions Jannah so much in the Quran so that we remember that's home. Like, you gotta want home. You wanna get back home. And so in the Quran, Allah always reminds us, like, this isn't it, y'all. You gotta want Jannah. Wa jannatin. But then Allah says, Jannatin arduha ka ardis sama'i wal ard. And race towards a paradise as vast as the heavens and the earth. The universe, as we now know how expansive the universe is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that's one person's Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said the lowest person in Jannah will have a Jannah the size of 10 times the earth. The Sahaba, I wonder how they understood that. When we understand the vastness of the universe today, I think, how did the Sahaba understand that? How did the Sahaba understand that? Vastness of the heavens and the heavens and earth. But look what it says next. U'iddat lilladhina amanu billahi wa rusuli. That's been prepared. Yo, prepared means it's already set up. It's already set up for you. It's like it's waiting for you. U'iddat means prepared already. Set up with the lights, with the beauty, with the best of everything. Why? Because of your struggle in this dunya. U'iddat. Prepared already. For who? لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ. Those who believe in Allah. وَرُسُلِي. But also سَابِقُوا. They were grinding. They were racing. They were running for Jannah. And they surrounded themselves by people, other people running for Jannah. That Jannah is prepared for them. U'iddat. Prepared already. You know my favorite verse? I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. My favorite verse describing Jannah. وَأُدْخِلَهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ. It's Surah Muhammad. Surah Muhammad, Allah says that we will enter them into a Jannah عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ, that they already familiar with. I don't know. That verse hits me, y'all. It's like, because I ain't trying to get there and be lost. Like, where my stuff at? Allah says in this verse, I will enter them into Jannah, but you already know where everything is already. Because it's home. It's home. And the people we love the most are there already. The people we love the most that have gone ahead already, they're there. Now look what's next. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Now the Quran is a mu'jiza. And the mu'jiza is its literary beauty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Arabic, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ. That is the bounty of God. Now, when you hear that, what's the that go back to? What did we just say? I'm going to read the verse again. Strive and race. Strive and race one another to the forgiveness of your Lord and to a heaven, a paradise that is as vast as the heavens and the earth that was prepared for those who believe in Allah and all of the messengers. ذَلِكَ, that is the bounty of God. What's the that going back to, y'all? So there's two ways to look at it. Most of the mufassirin, they say ذَلِكَ is referring to Jannah. And what this means is Jannah is God's bounty. Meaning, listen, there's a hadith, a beautiful hadith. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ. No one, I'll find the hadith. I just had the hadith here. One second. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّهُ لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ أَحَدًا بِعَمَلِ. No one enters Jannah based on their actions. SubhanAllah, Shaykh, you talking about سَابِقُوا, race towards good deeds, do them, do all of these, urgency, surround yourself. But the hadith, the Rasul, he said, إِنَّهُ لَنْ يَدْخُلُ أَحَدًا الْجَنَّةِ بِعَمَلِ. One of the Sahaba, subhanAllah, this man was brilliant. He said, وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I couldn't imagine the courage. He said, even you, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He was trying to figure out, is it our deeds that don't get us, or is it just the fact that deeds don't get you in? So he asked, Ya Rasulullah, wala anta? You mean even you? The Prophet ﷺ, I never forgot this hadith when I heard the words. This part, the Prophet said, وَلَا أَنَا إِلَّا أَن يَتَغَمَّدَنِي اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ إِلَّا أَن يَتَغَمَّدَنِي اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ إِلَّا, he said, me too. Unless and only if I will get Jannah, if Allah يَتَغَمَّدَنِي, just showers me with his mercy. You know what this is saying? You grinded. You worked hard. سَابِقُوا, you were in the race. All of a sudden, guess what creeps up in your heart? I'm supposed to get Jannah. I deserve it, yo. 40, 50 years praying, acting on the all of it, doing everything. I'm supposed to get it. I'm supposed to. Nah. If you count, if you measured your actions to God's blessings upon you, the hadith says all of your ibadah doesn't equal a glass of water. And a lot of us got a lot more than a glass of water. That's why Umar was on his deathbed and they're praising him. They're like, you're a sahabi. You were this, you were that. He's at the end, he goes, I hope I break even. I hope I break even. So I know what you're thinking. You're like, Sheikh, then why are we doing actions? Why am I grinding? My grinding is to prove how much I love Allah and how much I want it. But I only get it if he gives it to me. Can I give you an example? There's a boy. He comes home from school. And he says, Baba, I learned how to count. I learned how to count. I could count to 10. And so Baba goes, all right, if you could count, I'll take you to the candy store and you could get candy. And as high you can count, we'll get that much candy for you. The kid's hyped up. The father takes him to the candy store. There's an ammu selling candy. And the ammu, he says, you know, what do y'all want? And the father says, whatever he counts to, give him that. So the kid, he goes, 1, 2, 3, 4. He counts up to 10. And so the ammu reaches in and gives him 10 candies. Kid's lit. He's happy, mashallah. Goes home. Next day, the kid's on his way home, and he figures, you know what? I'm going to just stop at the candy store real quick. I know how to get candy. So he goes into the candy store. Same ammu. He goes, ammu, salamu alaykum. Ammu, wa alaykum salam. He goes, 1, 2, 3, 4. Amu looks at him, shubidduck, what you want? What you want? What's wrong? What do you want? He tries again, maybe he didn't hear me. 1, 2, 3, 4. He goes, oh, I get it. You think you're supposed to get candy. He goes, no. Your counting doesn't get you candy. Your actions don't get you Jannah. Your counting pleased your dad, and your dad got the candy for you. Your actions please, our actions please God. That's what we do it for. They don't gain you Jannah. What gains you Jannah is the mercy of God only. And that's what we're seeking, is God's mercy. But Allah uses the word fadl so you don't feel like you deserve it, like he owes it to you. Dhalika fadlullah. Now you know the word dhalika, I asked y'all, what does the dhalika go back to? Does it go to Jannah? And everyone's like, yeah, dhalika fadlullah. That is the bounty of God. That meaning Jannah. You know what I think dhalika goes back to? Sabiqu. That if Allah places it in your heart to grind and strive and race, that is the greatest bounty Allah could give you. You know, some people get on this, on the grind of deen, and then they start seeing other people grinding in dunya, and they're like, man, what did I do? You know what I'm trying to say? Like, I've seen kids that mashallah Allah blessed them with hifz, they were on the deen, they were this, that, but they start looking at other people and they're like, man, my man got this, he got that. And it's like, do you know what Allah gave you? Dhalika fadlullah. Dhalika what? Not Jannah. What's the true fadl? If Allah makes you of those who race for Jannah. That's the dhalika for me. Not the Jannah. To live a life that's dedicated to racing towards Jannah as much as I can. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ. And guess what? يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He gives it to whoever he wills. Oh Allah, give us that. Oh Allah, give us. Can you imagine if we leave this gathering and it's like, you know what? I'm going to have my dunya, but I'm not grinding for it no more. I'm grinding for akhirah. That's it. And if this thing doesn't fit into the equation of akhirah, I ain't even worried about it. But let me tell you something. It ain't going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. It's not supposed to be easy. Jannah ghali. Jannah ghali. Jiddan. Jannah is expensive. It takes effort. And so what does Allah say next though? Allah says, because this grind ain't easy. Guess what the next verse says? Ma asaba min musibatin. Ma asaba min musibatin fil ardi wala fi anfusikum. إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها إن ذلك على الله يسير. So beautiful. First of all, the word musiba in Arabic means calamity. But the word in Arabic communicates something that the English doesn't communicate. Musiba in English, calamity is random. Was struck with a calamity. Arabic, the word musiba is the same word you use when you hit the bullseye, like when you're shooting a bow and arrow, and you hit right in the middle, you say, asabt, asabt, I hit the mark. Musiba isn't random. It's where it's supposed to be. The word musiba is from asaba, sawab, correct, not random. It's supposed to be right where it was. That's important. Because when you realize I'm going through this for a reason, And this didn't randomly hit me? It's a whole different feeling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ. No calamity hits this earth. No calamity hits this earth. وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. And no calamity hits you. There was a moment where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can I see a pen? A pen? Not a real pen. Or open a new page. One day the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he described calamities in this dunya. Thank you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day, he drew a square, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew it's a wax square, I'm sorry. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he drew a square, okay? It's really a bad square, don't make fun of me, okay? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he drew a line in the middle of the square and it extended out of the square. It extended out of the square. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he drew these lines on the side like this. He drew this in the sand. The Prophet ﷺ knew there's visual learners in the ummah, mashallah, for those of us who are educational teachers, subhanallah. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he said, you see this box here? And I highly recommend you draw this diagram after you learn this, because it's a powerful reminder. He said, you see this whole square? This is the life, your life. This is your life. And he said, you see this line? This line coming out? This represents you. And you see what's coming outside of the box? That represents all your hopes. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. Notice the hopes go well beyond the box. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Yo, life's going, yo, you ain't here that long, yo. You ain't here that long, yo. And now what about these things on the side, though? The Prophet ﷺ said, those are calamities that come. He said, one hits you, the next one it will miss you. One misses you, the next one will hit you. But the Prophet ﷺ, in this diagram, he's letting us know that as you traverse through life, these calamities are going to come. They're unavoidable. You miss one, the next one hits you. It's part of this dunya. But here's the deal. When you're on the grind for akhirah, when you're on the grind for akhirah, they come harder. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ. The prophets are the one who get the hardest calamities. But this verse is powerful. You know why? Here's the deal. The believer is supposed to be balanced, y'all. The believer is supposed to be balanced. And what does that mean? That means when the calamities hit, I keep going. And when it's good times, I keep going. I am not someone that fluctuates whether I keep sabiqu, running on this race. It doesn't matter what's happening around me. I'm going to keep running. But how? How, Mikhail? Life is hard. How am I going to keep running when I lost my job or I lost a loved one or I'm going through a hardship emotionally? How am I going to get through that? Look at this verse. Allah says, Ma asaba min musiba. First thing, look at the word musiba. It's not by chance, Mikhail. That had to happen. You couldn't have missed it. It had to happen. You know what's the worst thing? Is when there was an investment opportunity that you could have got in and then you missed it. But if you never knew about it, you'd be like, yeah, whatever. But when you knew about it, you'd be like, oh, man, I had a chance. I was talking to a brother in this room who blew my mind with what I'm about to tell you. He was in a deal, multi-million dollar deal. I ain't going to tell y'all who we are, all in his face. And something happened where he lost it. He talked to me about it after. He was smiling. I'm like, bruh. I know you be in the holocaust. How you smiling, bro? He's like, it wasn't for me. I'm like, facts, bro. But the smile is what got me. The smile, and that's the beautiful thing. When you realize this was written ahead of time and there was no way to escape it, the smile comes. You get the flat tire and you're like, oh, you're angry versus like, yo, I guess I ain't supposed to get there on time. I tried my best. I left early. I did everything. But to me, it was his smile, y'all. I told y'all about my Sheikh Tamer, who lost Ilyas, the orphan, at the age of 12. 8-9 months ago, within 48 hours, Ilyas, 12 years old, dies. The day before, perfectly fine. This man cried. But while he cried, he said, Wallahi, I'm pleased with God. I said, what kind of creature are you? And I realized he's a believer. He's a believer. And he lost his 12-year-old adopted son that he adopted when he was a baby. But when he the day after, I was with him the day after. And of course he cried, because the Prophet cried when he lost Ibrahim. But he said, Wallahi, I'm not angry with God. I'm happy with God. But it hurts, that's all. It hurts. But I'm happy with God. So you're on this path. You're running, you're running, you're running. The next verse, Allah says, Ma asaba min musibatin fil ardi. Fil ardi. SubhanAllah, when global things happen, fil ardi. Wala fi anfusikum. Now that's me. Happening within my life. Sickness, loss, difficulty. Allah says, illa fi kitab. This was written in a book before. This was written already. This was written already. God's knowledge is perfect. That doesn't mean we don't have free will. We have free will. But God's knowledge is perfect. God's knowledge is perfect. He knows everything. Min qabli an nabra'aha. Before it happens, it's in a book already. You know why this is so beautiful? It's because there's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ is speaking to Ya ghulam inni u'allimuka kalimat. Muaz. He's sitting with Muaz, young boy, and they're riding, he's riding shotgun. And he's alone with the Prophet ﷺ. He's radif, meaning he's riding shotgun with him on the camel right next to him. And the Prophet is riding with him and he says, Ya ghulam, hey boy, inni u'allimuka kalimat. I want to teach you some words. What? Okay. Ihfadillah yahfadka. Ihfadillah. He says, protect God. God will protect you. Protect God. You'll find him wherever you turn. Whenever you need help, only ask God. Only ask God. Don't pick up the phone, call no one else. Ask God first. Then he said, and know this. Remember, whenever the Quran or the Prophet says know something, it's going to be on the exam. It means you got to review it. You got to review it. He says, and know that if the entire world gathered to give you something that God didn't write for you, they could never give it to you. And if the entire world gathered to do something against you that God didn't write against you, they could never. The whole room, the whole ummah, the whole world. The prophet said to Muaz as a young boy, I need you to know this in life. No one can harm you except God's permission. No one can benefit you. I love benefit because we think there's a lot of people that can benefit us. And the hadith is like, nope, not unless it's written for you. So what does this say? Beautiful. Allah says, إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. That's easy for God to have all this written because past, present, future time is a creation of God. Writing everything that will happen to the day of judgment, إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. That's easy for God. But here's where we're going to end. Why did he tell us this? Look at this verse, verse number 23. لِكَيْلَ. I'm telling you this so that la ta'saw ala ma fatakum. You do not become distraught, broken, heartbroken, sad over what you lose and don't get. Whatever misses you. Can I make it simple? The next time you're making something, coffee, a drink, and it spills, in that moment, I want you to, for a moment, be able to go, wasn't written. That wasn't mine. Because if you could do it with a glass of milk, as they say, don't cry over it, you'll be able to do it with the harder things too. But if you break down over a glass of milk, oh boy. No, do you understand? There's a process of building your tawakkul, building your ability to tap into that knowledge. And you got to start with the small stuff. You got to start with the small stuff, the small inconveniences. Allah says, I'm telling you this so that you do not become distraught, broken down over what misses you. But here's the other side. وَلَا تَفْرَهُ بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. And so that you don't exalt yourself over what you get. See, there's two extremes that we don't want to be in. When I miss what I thought I was supposed to get, I become broken. Extremely depressed, very low, extremely low. And then when I get what I want, oh, I'm elated. I exalt myself. This isn't the way of the believer. There's a beautiful hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ta'isa abd dinar wa abd dirham. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ta'isa abd dinar wa abd dirham. Amazing hadith. The Prophet said, cursed be the servant of the dinar and dirham, dollar and cents. Wa abdul qatifa, and the servant of clothes. Look what he says next. In u'tiya radiya. If he gets it, he's happy. But if he doesn't get, he doesn't fulfill his side of the bargain. If Allah doesn't give him, he doesn't pray. If Allah doesn't give him, he's not giving charity. What is this saying? Regardless of what you're getting for you or is happening against you, you have to stay the course. And this verse is beautiful because it's saying, don't get so sad when you miss out on things and don't get so elated when things go the right way. It was all written before. Because what happens, if you're too happy at the blessing, and I hate to use the word, the word happy, isn't it? The word is exuberant almost, exalting oneself. When you get your blessings, what's the first thing you should do? Gratitude. Gratitude. This isn't me. This is Allah. And when the hardship comes, what's the first thing you say? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. So this verse, subhanAllah, Likayla, I'm telling you that all of this is written so that you do not become so broken when you miss out on things. When hardships come, you don't become broken by them. Wala tafrahu bima atakum. And you're not over-exalted and so like, losing your mind happy when things go your way, your balance. You're like, Alhamdulillah. Wallahu la yuhibbu kulla mukhtalin fakhur. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love the person that is arrogant. Arrogant. I was supposed to get these things. And mukhtal. Mukhtal is from khiyal. They think big of themselves. fakhur, and every boasting person. These are beautiful verses, brothers and sisters. And in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after reminding us the reality of the dunya, which is the shackle that stops us from this race, immediately after that, he says, sabiqu, get up and run. Run to your akhirah. Run to Allah, because time is short. We don't have a lot of time. Run to God's forgiveness. Run to Jannah. And realize it's already been prepared for you. And guess what? That ability to get up and run is the greatest bounty that God can bestow upon you. And when you're running, you got to understand it's going to be hardships. There's no way of getting around hardships. They will be there. But here's what you have to understand. No calamity, no hardship comes except that it was already written. It was already written. And the way that you will survive calamities is realize is that your darkest day was the day that Allah was giving you the most light. The darkest day was the day Allah, when you look in hindsight, you'll realize that was the day that Allah made me right there. I said it weeks ago, I'm going to repeat it. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he was called up to a position of economic, holding the economics of the country. And the Aziz, the king at that time, he needed someone that could solve the economic problems. Yusuf alayhi salam, he goes, I can help you. But everyone says, where did he learn this from? He learned this when he was a slave in the house of the Aziz. His moment of slavery was where he learned the lesson that would make him and lead him to being the king that he became. Your darkest moment is the moment that Allah is making you. But if you don't allow that to happen and you don't allow yourself to see the blessing, you will miss out on your brightest day. So may Allah give us tawfiq. We'll stop here, verse number 23. We probably have like two more sessions of this surah, inshallah, because there's about seven more verses remaining. And then I guess we'll go to another surah after this, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. May Allah give us love of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to surround ourselves with people who are striving for akhirah. May Allah allow us to surround ourselves with people who are striving for akhirah. May Allah take out of our hearts a love of this dunya. May Allah take out of our hearts a love of this dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring ease and comfort to our brothers and sisters around the world, khususan Palestine and Sudan and all of the places that Muslims are suffering. We ask you, Ya Allah, to send down your afiyah upon them, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, we ask you to strengthen our hearts and give us a love of your kalam and connect our hearts to it. Wa akhru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum. Salah is in 4 minutes, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. Did they keep this one?